Well, good evening, students. Once again, it's a pleasure to be your instructor for tonight under the apostolic covering of Apostle Leroy Thompson, Sr., who is the founder of this training center. We're going to get right into our lesson tonight. We're teaching from the book, Catching the Waves of Revival. And on last week, we began to talk about the seven stages of revival. The first stage being times of revelation. Number two is times of repentance. Number three is times of refreshing. Number four is times of revealing. Number five is times of restoration. Number six is times of reformation. And then we finally get to number seven, which is times of the revivalists. Now, what you must understand that this entire book is dedicated until pointing us to the times of the revivalists, because none of these things can go into motion. See, God needs man. God always needs a man. God chose men to preach the gospel. God chose men to do his bidding in the earth realm. So God must always raise up a man who will be a co-laborer with him in order to accomplish, watch this, his plan and his purpose and his agenda for mankind. So tonight we're going to talk about stage two, times of repentance. The second stage, leading to the times of revival, it's called the times of repentance. The revelation of the ways, workings, and nature of God the Holy Spirit requires drastic changes on the part of the church. Drastic changes on the part of the church. That cannot happen without apostolic direction, apostolic instruction, apostolic illumination, apostolic protection, apostolic reproof, apostolic doctrine. Now, why am I saying that this early in the class? Because right now, the world is facing a pandemic, a crisis, a health crisis, in addition to a wealth crisis. Just stop for a moment and consider what I'm saying tonight, that God have used our apostle, Apostle Leroy Thompson, Sr., to prepare us, even as he did when the days of famine came in the days of Joseph. He sent him ahead to Egypt to be a preserver of his posterity. Well, in the same way, years ago, Apostle Thompson began to deal with our paradigm as it comes to wealth and abundance and increase and opulence, that we as children of God, see, we're on the cutting edge, that we should be living the abundant life. And now here it is in 2020, in the midst of this pandemic, years ago, he began to set before us, God wants us to eat right. Eating right. Now, pay attention to what I'm about to say. Repentance is more than just turning from sin. Repentance means a complete shift in your paradigm regarding sin, sowing, eating right. All of those things require a transformation and a renewing of the mind. And here's what the Bible says. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. So it's not judgment, it's God's goodness. And God is good, isn't he? Let's go. New wine warrants a change in the wineskin. You know what the scriptures say. You don't take new wine and put it into old wineskins. Because if you do, then the old wineskin would burst and the new wine would be wasted. But new wine is for new wineskins, so that both the wineskin and the wine is preserved. All of that begins with a change of the soul, being renewed in the spirit of our mind, following apostolic direction, continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, which is a heaven-to-earth government. Go ahead. It is not God who needs to change. God boldly declares, hey, you heard, you know that's in Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Are you listening? Then God asks a question, will a man rob God? And you say, wherein have we robbed you? You know all of that, but I want to deal with that part where it talks about, see, God does not change. I am the Lord and I change not. So if God doesn't change, then that tells why. God is perfection. And in order for us to come up to God's standard, God's level, to be equal with God, we got to follow what he says in his word and renew our minds to it. See, God doesn't change, but insanity is wanting different results, but you're doing the same thing. Man must change. Draw nigh to God, God draw nigh to us. Go ahead. Revelation knowledge is seen as the early rain that comes upon the ground, softening the soil, breaking up, the Bible calls it, that fallow ground, that hard ground. Read. The purpose of the early rain is to help break up the fallow ground for plowing. Number one, there's two types of repentance. Repentance is not only the aspect of the confession of sins, but it is the turning away from that which is displeasing to God and choosing a lifestyle that honors, respects, and is pleasing to him. See, God is very simple. You see, repentance is choosing a lifestyle. It's a decision that we make. It's a decision that cannot be made if we don't properly renew our minds. You see, it's the renewing of the mind for the believer that helps us to please God. See, faith is not for the spirit. Faith is for the soul. God's word is for the renewing or the reprogramming of our minds so that we can think like God, which will cause us to feel like God, which will cause us to act like God, and which will cause us to get God results. Go ahead, child. Repentance is not just an act, but it's a lifestyle. Cultivating an attitude to continuously change until our personal lives align to his word and to his will for us. See, children, listen, salvation. See, the minute we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, we are complete in him. We are complete in him. Our righteousness is secure. There's nothing we need to do to become righteous. There's no more we could do to be made righteous, because God in Christ have made us the righteousness of God and have given us right standing with him. That's important to understand. Now read that again, that part you just read again. Repentance is not just an act, but it's a lifestyle, cultivating an attitude to continually change until our lives align to his word and his will for us. So what does that tell me? Even though I know I'm complete in Christ, even though I know I'm righteous, even though I know I'm the righteousness of God in Christ, in order for me to live this lifestyle, there must of necessity be a saving of the soul. See, our spirits are born of God. We have the nature of God. His divine nature is in our innermost being. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, lighting all of the inward parts of the belly. Man is a spirit, and God imparted his divine nature, eternal life, to the spirit of man. But man, in order to function in this earth realm as God intended him to function, his soul must be renewed. Now, the Bible says in James 1:18, it talks about receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save our souls. If our souls were saved, we would not have this term in the Bible, receive with meekness the engrafted word, the word that's engrafted in your soul. Your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, your thoughts, your feelings, your appetites, all of that is in your soul. Are you listening? All the evil that you do come from thoughts that have been planted in your mind. And so God wants us to know, in order for us to live this lifestyle of repentance, you cannot do it without a renewed soul. As a matter of fact, the word of God must become the anchor of our soul to keep us from drifting away to the left or drifting away to the right, but staying right focused and on center. Go ahead, child. The two types of repentance, repentance from sins and repentance from dead works. Repentance from sins and repentance from dead works. Both of these aspects of repentance, they are complementary to one another. Repentance from sins and repentance from dead works. Mature repentance is incomplete without these two aspects, repentance from sins and repentance from dead works. See, let me talk to you for a second here. You cannot repent from sin if you're not convicted of it. And that begins in the soul. See, there's one scripture, Psalm 139, verse number 14, say, my soul know it right well. See, your soul know it right well. Let me talk to your children. The Bible talks a lot about the mind, and the church don't want to deal with the mind. We want to keep dealing with that which is already perfected in Christ, the spirit of man. But it is the soul of man that must be transformed. The Bible says, with my mind, I serve the law of God. Romans 7:25, you look it up. With my mind, I serve the law of God. I cannot serve God's law without the transformation of my mind. For to be carnally minded, is death. To be fleshly minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. The Bible says a carnal mind cannot please God. A spiritual mind can, but a fleshly mind can't. A fleshly mind only wants to follow the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. A spiritual mind says, I must feed my mind with the word of God so that these imaginations and these strongholds in my life can be broken. Apart from God's Holy Spirit, there is no conviction. It takes the Holy Spirit to prick a man's heart. What does that mean? Prick is stick. See, sometimes we can get into the area of sin where we practice it habitually, that now we have what the Bible calls a reprobate mind. We think it's okay. That's why we have men thinking it's okay to sleep with another man. Or a woman think it's okay to sleep with another woman. Y'all don't want to talk about these things. But God says these things happen because man in his mind chose not to honor God, respect God, and live a lifestyle that pleases God. So we drift away in our mind. We compromise. So now the church, here it is in 2020, the Pope of the Catholic Church is saying same-sex marriages are okay. Are you kidding me? So that lets you know the Pope, the Bishop, the Cardinal, and even an apostle or prophet or anybody else that says things contrary to the word, we not supposed to go with it. Go, child. Repentance from sin. This is the turning away from all known sin and the sinful habit. The turning away from all known sin and the sinful habits. The sin nature have been taken. See, the book say taken out of your spirit. I want to take it a step farther because I'm up under Apostle Thompson, who's not going to let us just stay in a book. The sin nature got to be crucified in your mind. The spirit of your mind. Your soul got to get saved. Are you listening? The fiery darts or the fiery thoughts of the wicked one don't go to your spirit. It go to your mind. The weapons of our warfare, which are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. In Ephesians chapter 6, all of our armor is for the mind, the helmet of salvation. All of that is to protect your mind, the shield of faith. The shield of faith is designed to block all of the fiery darts of the enemy. The darts of the enemy is a thought that enters into your mind to cause you to want to do things contrary to God's will. So you have to have the word of God to block that thought. And I told you last week, you answer a thought with a thought. You got to cast down a thought with the thoughts that you have from the word of God. Because you're thinking all day long. All the day long, you're thinking. 70,000 thoughts per day. 80% of them are negative. 56,000 thoughts you have during the course of a day are negative. 14,000 are good. So now you can see why you must focus on feeding your soul with real soul food. That's not collard greens and yams and fried chicken. Okay, you can laugh a little bit. Don't get all tight up in here. Go ahead. Our spirits have been recreated in the image and the likeness of God. But there still lies a sin habit. In our soul and in our body. Now pay attention. The reason that sin habit is in your body, because your soul got out of control in the book of Genesis chapter number 3. Man went from revelation knowledge to reasoning. Reasoning and revelation knowledge are products of the soul. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Go ahead. Repentance from sins is to deal with the sin habit in our soul and in our body. Y'all notice that? Repentance deal with it. Are you listening? But it can't be dealt with until it gets pricked. Put it another way. It cannot be dealt with until the light of God's word is shined on it. See, I've been around a little bit. The reason why believers many times continue with sin habits and habitual sin problems that they may be struggling with, because we don't really have a mature church. We have a condemning and a judging church and a law-based church. Oh, don't get me wrong. Grace doesn't give you the right to sin, but grace will empower you not to sin when you follow somebody who's matured enough to say, I'm going to deal with you in love. I'm going to deal with you from the spirit of grace, understanding that this situation, this life situation that you're dealing with, if you confide in me about it, I have the maturity to deal with it, not to cover it so as to you can get away with it, but love covers a multitude of sin. And really, if you really understand the Bible, you have a responsibility to retain or remit sin. You can literally, why does the Bible say, is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint him, anoint that person in the name of the Lord, and pray the prayer of faith over them. And if they have committed any sin, the sin would be forgiven them. When is the church going to learn that sin ain't the problem? We are. We should not be counting people's sins against them. We should be what Jesus did, redeeming man from sin, which caused sickness and disease. Oh, that's okay, children. But at the end of the day, after we do all of that, we cannot take away the responsibility from a man or a woman choosing to do what's right. But it's the goodness of God that leads you to doing what's right. Go ahead. When such a life breaks forth in us, we shall know our adoption as sons. The repentance of sins is obeying God's requirements of us. Now watch what the Bible says. If any man sin. If any man sin. The fact that the Bible say, if any man sin, lets me know that if man sin is a choice. Oh, don't come here acting like I'm not telling you the truth or preaching up here. Sin is a choice. Yes, it is. Sin is a choice. Because when you have been free from the power of sin by the death, burial, resurrection, shed blood, and ascension of the Christ, are you listening? We have been freed from the shackles. The shackles and the bondage of sin. Are you listening? Free. But you're not free if the Son don't set you free. And the Son set us free by the sacrifice of himself. In the book of Hebrews, it says that Christ put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. For he who knew no sin was made to be sin for us. See, he didn't know sin. Not only did he not know sin, another place say he did know sin, and neither was any guile found in his mouth. He was the perfect Lamb of God. He offered up himself as a sin sacrifice. Why? To deliver us from the power, from the darkness of sin, so that we could be translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son, so that the power and the effects of sin would no longer lord it over us. Because we really are free. Go ahead, child. Repentance from dead works. Repentance from dead works is turning away from all things that are not profitable to God's kingdom and spirit life, to God's kingdom and the spirit life. One day I was going over this. We are God's inheritance. We are God's inheritance. But it's not a sin-heritance. Y'all got that? It's a inheritance. And Satan uses sin to part us from our inheritance. Oh, you ain't heard that. Why? Because sin is a transgression of what God requires. And if it wasn't possible for us to live a lifestyle victoriously over sin, Romans 6 and 1 say, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. God forbid. Not Dr. Ron Walker, not Apostle Leroy Thompson. God forbid. But Dr. Ron Walker and Apostle Leroy Thompson and every other instructor, we are on God's side. Now, we recognize that people sometimes can get over into an area. The Bible doesn't say when we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. It says, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. That's right, the righteous one, who is the propitiation for our sin. But not only for our sin, but for the sin of the whole world. See, the church has been preaching sin so strong that the church lives in sin consciousness. But let me tell you something. You don't have to ask if you sin. Y'all heard that? You never have to ask because you have a built-in alarm system. The minute you cross the line, if your conscience is tender towards God, he'll let you know. The minute that conscience ceases to be tender, now you have what the Bible calls a seared conscience. That's why men can sleep with other men and women can sleep with other women and think it's right. Even though the Bible said, God said, because they chose not to retain me in their thinking, I gave them over to a reprobate mind that they would do those things which were not convenient. Read your own Bible. You'll see. I don't care if the whole world turned to these things. Are you listening? We got to stick with the word of God. Nowhere in the Bible is a man commanded to marry another one. It's erroneous and it's not God. And when God said, what I joined together, let no man put asunder, he was talking about male and female. That's right. That's right. What God joined together. God joined together male and female. Are you listening? But you chose your male and you chose your female. How you know that? Because you never asked him. Most of us never ask God who to marry. We married. Then we say God did it. Y'all don't want to talk now. Everybody quiet. Don't drop that coffee cup. Just pay attention to what I'm saying. But God honors marriage. Marriage is a covenant. And in that covenant, God say join together male and female. That's the word of God. On Noah's boat, they didn't bring two male doves. They didn't bring two male lions. Two male elephants. Y'all getting the picture? Because if Noah had violated what God said, bring the male and the female, then the replenishing of the earth with all of those creatures that moved upon the face of the earth would have been impossible. Because you got to have seed and you got to have a womb. You got to have seed and you got to have soil. The word of God is a seed and your soul is the soil. Oh, I wish. I've been up under Apostle Thompson. I know some. I got some stuff under my belt. Go ahead. We need to understand that good and evil can come from the same tree called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Y'all saw that? Both good and evil can come from the same tree, because the tree was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Are you listening? That tree that represented the knowledge of good and evil, I submit unto you, it was talking about your soul. As a man thinketh in his soul, so is he. You carry out what you think. When the enemy told Eve, in the day that you eat that tree, you're going to become like God. Watch this. Knowing good and evil. Knowing good and evil. Y'all know Satan was created perfect from the day God created him until iniquity was found in him. God didn't put it in him. He chose to rebel because he had pride in him. That's a whole nother lesson. Go ahead, child. When we rely on the human mind and wisdom, we are partaking from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or blessing and calamity. Without this discernment, the church cannot mature to its level of purity and holiness. Listen to me, children. Holiness is not a white chapel cap with a white long dress 6 inches below your knees, with a white slip and a white girdle and a white all of the other stuff. Because I don't want to be, I got to respect females. I'm not here to be vulgar. But you see, in the church I grew up, I'm a Kojic boy. All of the rules regarding holiness was for a woman. She couldn't wear makeup. And God knows all of them in the church I was in needed it. Go ahead on and laugh. Look at y'all. Y'all won't get with me. That's okay. Because they thought not wearing makeup made them holy. I was in a church that said you couldn't wear pants. That's right. Because you couldn't wear nothing pertaining to a man. Oh, y'all don't want to talk. I'm here. We made holiness outward. A woman couldn't come to church with a sundress on. A woman had to always wear stockings. A woman had to always have a hat on her head. You ought to be glad I've been delivered. I preached that you were not saved if you wore makeup. Lord, help Ron. I'm glad he did. Are you listening? I sent people to hell for smoking and drinking, all of this outward stuff that have nothing to do with the inward. Thank you for your enthusiasm. If I listen to the church I came up in, the only people in heaven is the church of God in Christ. Because everybody else went to hell. Oh, Lord, that's a whole nother lesson. We don't have time for it tonight. But I was full of judgment and condemnation, just like many of you are out there. But let me tell you something. Holy living, right living, begins with a relationship with God. Jesus said, I do always the things that please my Father. I do. I wonder when many of us gonna have that same testimony. God, all I want to do is please you. All I want to do is live to please you. Well, without faith, it is impossible to please God. What is faith? Following apostolic instructions through hearing. Without hearing the instructions of an apostle, that's passed on to the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher, and the elders, and the deacons, and all of the other appointed offices. Are you listening? We would have no hope. Read, child. Repentance from dead works. Repentance from dead works keeps us from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The benefits of repentance. See, you can't repent if your soul don't change. If your soul don't change, you won't get satisfied. Go ahead. The repentance from sin brings us to meet with the Master. When we meet the Master, notice what it says. We know forgiveness. And we know healing and salvation. We know forgiveness. We know healing and we know salvation. The reason why the church is in the condition that it's in, we don't know forgiveness.